Okay, looking back this afternoon at 1 Thessalonians 5:18, as we're thinking about what it means to cultivate a heart of gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we looked this morning at several different things. We looked at the contrast of cultivating a heart of gratitude, and that is cultivating just a complaining, entitled, anxious, bitter heart, and not all of those at the same time, but different versions and different intensities of those things. And I guess the main point that I want to make out of those is we are cultivating something, right? You are cultivating some kind of an attitude in your heart and in your mind. And we said this morning that a heart of gratitude or an attitude of gratitude is not determined by the condition of your circumstances or your relationships. It is determined by the condition of your heart. And so as we come this afternoon, I want us to be a little more practical about what it means to enter into this and what it means to biblically cultivate this heart of gratitude. So number one, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy 4, verse 7. Says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and that which is to come. And so, as Paul is instructing Timothy here in verse 7, the end of that verse, or the second part of that verse, is the instruction that Timothy would discipline himself, exercise, discipline, train himself unto godliness. And so, brothers and sisters, I think one of the biggest challenges that we have, really just in spiritual maturity and formation of spiritual character, period, is this idea that somehow it's supposed to happen in a spontaneous way. That somehow I will spontaneously become godly. That I will spontaneously become thankful. I will spontaneously become consistent in my scripture reading. I will spontaneously grow in my prayer life. And all of that without really any thought and very little effort or planning on my own. And we've talked about this before, but one of the reasons why I think, even if we don't put it into those words, that we tend to lean toward spontaneity is because the culture really has painted a picture for us, particularly in the area of things like love, where if it's not spontaneous, then it's not sincere. Right. If it's not something that my heart was just overwhelmed with in the moment, then there must have been a lack of sincerity there. And anyone who has any self-awareness realizes that spontaneity is pretty easy in the initial stages of things. Right? Whenever we're thinking about what we were looking at in Psalm 45. So if you're going to pursue your wife, or maybe I should say your fiance, right? It's a lot more spontaneous at the beginning stages of your romantic relationship. It's a lot less spontaneous when you're 20 years in, right? Anybody more spontaneous 20 years in than you were before? Okay, if you are, I'm not sure what to say. So spontaneity is fine, and there are different seasons for spontaneity, but endurance and spontaneity typically do not go hand in hand. And what we're looking for is the cultivation of something so that it is growing, that it is strengthening, and that it is enduring. And so, in this particular passage, as it relates to godliness, which having a thankful heart and a thankful attitude would be part of what it means to be godly, the first thing that I want to point out here is that giving thanks begins as a discipline that eventually develops into an attitude. Okay? Giving thanks will begin as a discipline. You're going to have to discipline yourself to do that if you want that to be part of who you are or part of your character. And then, as you become accustomed to that, as you train yourself in that, discipline yourself for that, then it will become part of your attitude. Look in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. We see a picture here that I think is helpful. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, this is a section where people are being set up for different roles and responsibilities in worship and in temple service. And in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 4, it says this, "And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel." Okay, this was somebody's function. They were appointed, think about this, they were appointed, this was their role. When they showed up for work, this is what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to record the works of the Lord, and then they were supposed to thank and praise the God of Israel who was doing those works. Now, you know how jobs go. You start out when you get a new job and you're kind of excited about it, kind of nervous about it. Once you realize you can't actually do what it is that they've hired you to do, then you start to enjoy that a little more, and you build a little confidence, but there's also just a real sense of enjoyment. And then after a while, it's just mundane. If you've had the same job for more than a couple of years, more than likely, you do not daily get up ecstatic and excited about doing the same thing you did the day before. And the same thing you did the day before. And the same thing you did the day before. Right? It gets old. That kind of thing gets old from the standpoint that it's not fresh, it's not exciting in the way that it once was. Well, while there was a ceremonial aspect to this job that this particular Levite had, who was to record and to thank and praise the Lord, the God of Israel, I would guess that he didn't have the same level of intensity and excitement every time he did that. Wouldn't you? And yet he did it. Day after day after day, year after year after year. He was the one who was there. Notice the two things that go hand in hand. To record the work to the Lord, and then to thank the Lord. Okay, sometimes, and I'm one of the worst. I've had several conversations this week just about how oblivious I can be and how unaware I can be in different areas. But sometimes one of the reasons why we are not expressing thankfulness more is just because we're not taking the time to look for and record God's blessings in our lives. We're not taking the time to look for the Lord's tokens of grace and the Lord's provisions in our lives. Honestly, there are several times where I've, over the last several years, where I have just kind of been struck with the reality that the little bubble of blessings that I live in and that I call just everyday normal life, is a real rare thing in a fallen, sin-cursed world. It is. I've got a wife who loves me, who supports me, who is faithful to me. I have a church family who would drive across the country to pick me up if I needed it. If I had something going on at the house, I have tons of people that would show up to help. If I had a burden that needed to be carried, I mean, I think about our time in Lebanon with David and the outpouring of love and concern and materials and all those things. I mean, just the things that I just kind of take for granted. I mean, that's just part of my life, and it has been part of my life for the last 17 years. But God hasn't been on autopilot in those 17 years, right? Those mercies have been new every single morning. Those mercies have come straight from His heart and His hand to me every single morning, every single day. And so it's the discipline of, number one, looking for God's work, God's blessing, making a record of that, whether that's, you know, in a notebook or a mental record, and then thanking and praising the Lord for it. It's a discipline. It's an intentional discipline. Look in Psalm 95. Psalm 95, verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Notice how intentional verse 2 is. He's planning this out, right? They're not there yet. They have not come together yet. He's saying, let us come together, let us come before the Lord's presence, and let us do that with thanksgiving. Let us prepare our hearts and intentionally come before Him with thanksgiving, giving Him thanks for all that He's done for us. What about Psalm 116? Psalm 116. In Psalm 116, verse 17, the psalmist says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. So, again, he's being very intentional here about offering the sacrifice of thanksgiving. But then he also says in verse 17, as he's going to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, that he's going to call upon the name of the Lord. He's going to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, as we think about how that phrase is used, particularly throughout the Psalms, and we think about the imagery that we've seen and the 45 Psalms that we've gone through on Wednesday night so far, we see this repetitive theme of God as a refuge, God who hears our cries, God who hears the voice of our prayer, the Lord who has turned His ear toward His people, the Lord who delivers, the Lord who strengthens, and we could go on and on and on. And I just want to say, there is a correlation for those who are seeking to cultivate this discipline of thanksgiving. There is a correlation between those who regularly call upon the name of the Lord and those who regularly thank the Lord for His intervention, for His blessings, for His answer to their prayers. Needy people have a hard time being self-sufficient, right? If I know that I'm needy, if I know that if it's not for the intervention of a merciful and gracious God on my part, then I'm not going to make it. And if my regular practice is to cast my cares upon Him because He cares for me, then I'm going to have something to give thanks for. Right? I'm going to have something to give thanks for. Because I recognize that the Lord is at work. And not only is He at work, He's answering my prayers specifically as I see my need. Again, as we think about the practice of cultivating a thankful heart being a discipline, you think about in the book of Leviticus, there was a sacrifice of thanksgiving that was regularly done. Right? I mean, that was something that was set up in the temple worship, and it was rooted in the reality that God is worthy of receiving daily expressions of our gratitude. Now, we can be creative with how we implement that now. That can be something that we implement around the supper table. That can be something that we implement in conversation with each other as we, as we try to choose something from the morning message to talk about and to discuss or encourage during the meal time and the fellowship time. Just intentionally having our hearts prepared to share with someone, this is what the Lord did for me this week. This is what the Lord did for me today. Here's what I needed, and here's how He provided. And we don't have to try to set ourselves up as being super spiritual prop up our own spirituality in this. I mean, the Lord blesses in all kinds of ways that we would think are common, and they're not. I remember a time whenever we were working on our house, the first installment of our house, and Joseph and I were trying to get these two windows into a mold that would help them look like one window. And we spent hours trying to get those stupid windows in that mold, and we just couldn't do it. We put some little lubricant stuff and thought, if we smash it that way, if we go this way, if we do a chisel here, if we do a chisel there. And finally, one of us said, let's just stop and pray and ask the Lord to give us wisdom and to ask the Lord to help us in this. And we stopped and we prayed. And guess what happened the next time we tried to get it in the mold? It went in the mold, right? Okay, so we're giving thanks that the Lord blessed us to get two windows and a sliver of plastic. That doesn't sound super spiritual, but that's God's direct answer to a direct prayer in my time of need. You see, that's just where we live in real life, and God intervenes in our real lives in real ways that are merciful. So, the sacrifice of praise rooted in this reality that He is worthy of praise. So we try to set ourselves up to be intentional about that. Okay, the other thing I want to mention about cultivating a heart of gratitude is that the Lord intends for gratitude to be an identifying mark of His people. Okay, did you know that about the Lord expects that His people will be known for their gratitude. Look in Psalm 140. In Psalm 140, verse 12, He says, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. You notice the wording here? Surely the upright, surely the righteous will give thanks unto thy name. Okay, that's the same word that we think about in Psalm 23:6, where David says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And how do we think about that passage? Well, we think about that passage as one that gives us a pretty secure hope, right? A passage that gives us confidence in the fact that God's goodness and mercy are going to pursue us and hunt us down all the days of my life. That word surely is a statement of confidence that this is going to happen. Here the psalmist says, surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. What about in Isaiah chapter 51? Isaiah chapter 51, verse 3. He says, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Surely the Lord here, I'm inserting the word surely here, but we've received the fulfillment of this. The Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort her waste places. Here she's talking about the Lord blessing His people, the Lord bringing His people to Himself. And what is going to be a characterization of that? Well, as we receive the Lord's blessings, it's going to be joy, it's going to be gladness, and what? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. We could go to other places. Let's go to just a few more in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. This chapter begins in verse 1 with the exhortation that we should be imitators of God as dear children, that we should walk in love. And then there's a list of things that we're to avoid or put off. Verse 4 kind of breaks into that list where he says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. See, as Paul in Ephesians 5 thinks about what it means for us to be imitators of God, what it means for us to walk in love as Christ has, well, the first thing he thinks about are the things that we're going to have to stop doing or things that we are not going to be involved in. And as he gets down to the use of our tongue, the use of our mouths, he says you've got to do away with foolish talking, jesting, which is just crude humor, the things which are not convenient, but rather what? The giving of thanks. The giving of thanks. A sanctified mouth is a mouth that is thanking the Lord. Maybe you have trouble with language. You have trouble with talking about foolish things. And of course, this is not to say you can't joke. This is not to say you can't laugh. But there are some things that aren't funny that you shouldn't be laughing about, right? There are some things that aren't jokes that you shouldn't be joking about. It's talking about the kind of foolish talking and jesting that would be characterized as sinful. And maybe you have a hard time just keeping your mouth closed when you're around people that you normally would do that with. And what Paul says here is, don't keep your mouth closed. Right? What's the opposite of a foolish talker? Well, it's not a quiet mouth. It's someone who's giving thanks. What's the opposite of someone who's telling crude jokes? Well, again, it's not a quiet mouth. It's someone who's giving thanks to God for His goodness and mercy to us. So, it's assumed that as we grow and mature in our character, that thanksgiving will be a regular part of what we are and what we do. There are various ways that we see thanksgivings being expressed in Scripture. I'm not going to turn to a lot here. Number one, we give thanks in prayer. right? We want to make that a regular category in prayer. On Wednesday nights, as we come together and as we have our prayer service before the preaching of the Word, as we look into the Psalm, that is an appropriate time for us to give thanks, right? That's an appropriate time for us to, obviously, for us to, you know, ask for prayer for the ailments and the things that and the people that are in need and our own selves as we're in need. But brothers and sisters, a regular part of our prayer life should be thanks to God for His goodness and mercy and grace to us. We give thanks in the songs that we sing. We sing several hymns today that were songs of praise, songs of thanksgiving. The cultivation of that just in your own personal time with the Lord can be a tremendous blessing and can also be a tremendous reminder to us, a way that we train ourselves in thankfulness. And then personal testimony. Personal testimony, just taking the time to share with others the good things that the Lord has done for you. So we mentioned this, is in our text, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, but when Scripture calls us, when God calls us through Scripture to be thankful, He calls us to be thankful in all things, all circumstances, right? So how are we supposed to understand that? What does that mean? Well, I just want to say three things about that. Just because we're called to give thanks in all circumstances and in all things doesn't mean that bad things don't happen, right? We live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a fallen world. We have struggles with the flesh. But what it does mean is this. We think about Romans 8, 28, 29, also Genesis 50, 20. Where Joseph says to his brothers, "You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good." And so as we're giving thanks in all things, in all circumstances, we're giving thanks because we know that God is working the hard and difficult disappointments of our lives for His good and His glory. And He's doing that in various ways. Okay, part of that is it could be that the Lord is, through the struggles and trials that you're experiencing right now, it could be that God is preparing you for some kind of future ministry that He has in mind for you. It may be that you will be used by Him to comfort someone who's going through the same struggle that you're going through. It may be that the struggle that you're going through right now and the difficult struggles that we go through are the breaking point in our lives to where we realize just how needy we are and just how sufficient God is as we come to Him, not in pride, but in complete humility. Okay, that doesn't feel good, does it? It doesn't feel good to be humbled, but it is good. It's there where we find our rightful place at the throne of grace. When Job talks about his trials, when Job is face to face with God and he's finished with his questions and he's finished with his complaining, finally, what Job realizes is that the trials that he underwent, even though they were not a result of his sin, is that those trials were used to help Job experience God in new realities, in new ways that he would have never experienced the Lord. Can you think about that in your own life? Difficult things that you've gone through, and God used that to pull back the curtain and show you aspects of Himself that you had never seen before. To minister to your heart comforts in fresh ways that you had never seen before. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen immediately. But brothers and sisters, God's grace, God's mercy, God's strength will only become sweet when we realize how weak and sinful and wretched we really are. And so the Lord uses those difficult times to show us that. And then Somebody want to nudge Brother Tom? In Psalm 119, verse 67. Psalm 119. Verse 67. The psalmist says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept your word." Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept your word. You know, there are times where the Lord sends trials into our lives, and they're used to help us value and rely more on God's word for wisdom and for comfort. We're brought to a place in our life, and again, it varies. You know, we don't know which one of these or all of them or any combination of these are going to, what's going to be produced out of our difficulties, out of our trials. But as we're trying to think through, how would it be that we would be able to give thanks for seasons in our life that are characterized as painful, difficult, humiliating? Well, it's not going to be giving thanks based upon our immediate circumstance, but it can be giving thanks based on what God is producing in us through that difficult circumstance. How many of us have gone through trials and you've come out the other end with a far deeper appreciation for God and for His Word and for His promises and for His wisdom? And it was as if while you were going through that difficult time, it was as if God was audibly speaking that word to your heart. And when I say that, I don't mean it from an experiential way. I mean the word of God became so alive to you, so strengthening to you, so comforting to you, that it was almost as if you were reading something you had never read before. And in reality, you had been under the sound of that same word 10, 15, 20 years, right? And so there's this dependence that can be cultivated. And for that, we do what? We give thanks. We give thanks. And so whatever else may be happening in our difficult circumstances, one thing we know for sure is happening, and that is God is using the disappointments, the pain, the trials to further develop spiritual maturity in the hearts, lives, and characters of His people. And that's going to fall into at least one of these three categories here. And so we can give thanks for that. And then last, as we think about cultivating a heart of gratitude, as we grow in the discipline of thanksgiving, really what we're doing is we're preparing our hearts for heaven. You know, one of these days, either when we die or when Christ comes back, we are going to be well versed in the art and discipline of giving thanks. You are going to spend a good chunk of your time in eternity giving thanks to the Lord. Look in Revelation 7. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, John says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and they worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, in all reality, there's a sense in which as we grow and cultivate and are involved in giving thanks to Jesus Christ for all He's done for us, it's a way that we can keep one foot in heaven and one foot on earth. That's what we're going to be doing one day. That's what where our lives are going to be given over to. And the reality is, you are in the process of becoming what you one day will be. And whatever else we're going to be, which we could go through and name a few things off, whatever else, we're going to be a thankful people. And so may God bless us to pursue a disciplined, growing, thankful heart that we might be lights in a dark world, but also that we might enjoy the blessings that God has given to us as His people. Let's pray. Father, again, we confess to you that as we read these things, as we see what Scripture has to say about the priority you put on us cultivating thankful hearts, we have to confess that we failed in this area. And yet we also have to thank you that you haven't just told us to do something that is beyond our reach, that you've given us your Spirit, you've given us your Word, you've given us your promises. Father, you've given us each other. You've given us everything that we need to cultivate a heart of gratitude toward you. And so, Father, I pray that you would bless us to pursue that. I pray that you would give us eyes to see your blessings, your workings in our lives, and then that you would give us mouths that would speak those blessings, that would speak gratitude for those, both to you and as an encouragement to one another. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.